Are you weary from a battle you're fighting? Does it seem like the storm just won't break? Is there a mountain in front of you that doubt says will never move? And you wonder, will God make a way? Well, tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. So be strong in the Lord and remember to take hold of faith and stand firm. Oh, you can be confident the Lord keeps His promises. If you doubt it, just read through His word. And tell me a time He's not been faithful. Tell me a morning His mercies weren't new. Tell me a moment He wasn't able to carry you through. Tell me a day He was less than almighty, when He could not roll back the tide. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time. Child, when you look back, you're gonna find there was never a time.
If you love the Lord this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful singing choir and that song we just heard. Thank you for that. Sure was a blessing to me. Happy Mother's Day to all your mothers, and very grateful, thankful for you. Without you, we wouldn't be here this morning. And so I'm very grateful for you and all the things that go into it. Thankful for my mama and thankful for my goodly heritage and how she's raised us up, and my dad and my family. And I know if you're in church this morning, you feel the same way, and sure are grateful for those ladies in our lives who raise us and look after us. And if your mother is still on the earth, like it's been said this morning, be sure and make them known how grateful you are for them. And if they're not, they're in glory. We will see them again one day. And there will be that a great divide that will no longer be there. And thank you for all that you do. That being said, I've really wrestled with the Lord on what to do for this morning, to be real honest with you. And the last few weeks I've been studying and trying to seek the Lord's will for what He would have us to get into this morning. And I had a Mother's Day themed message in that I was studying and looking at, and really all the way up until last night I'd been looking at it, thinking that was the direction I might go, but Lord would really not give me liberty in that. And as much as I tried and got it all together and had everything, I'm a perfectionist and stuff I do, it's annoying to people that are close to me, but I like to get things in order. And as easy as it would be to go that route, the Lord will not give me liberty to do that. And he gave me a thought last night and into this morning, and I studied this morning. I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, if this is where you want me to preach, I pray that you'd eliminate these scriptures to my mind, because I really hadn't studied in it very much. And he did grant that this morning. And I believe with all my heart, as much as I am saved this morning, that God's got this message for us this morning. So turn with me to Psalm chapter number 18, the 18th Psalm this morning. And of course, like I said, so grateful for you being here. I said, Lord, all these people are coming to church looking to hear a Mother's Day message at Mount Lebanon. There's the alliteration and everything. But Lord would not let me do it, and I do not want to compromise the Lord's will for people's expectations, and I know you understand that this morning. Psalm chapter number 18, I'll invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word if you're physically able. Psalm chapter number 18, and we'll begin in verse number 1, and we'll read through this chapter in portions, but I just want to catch these first few verses, and you can be seated in a moment. Verse number 1, Psalm chapter 18, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken. Because he was wroth, there went up smoke, and out of his nostrils and fire, out of his mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heaven also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he abode, and he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Verse 12, at the brightness that was before him, this thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. In the context to our text this morning, David has just come out of this battle of fleeing for his life from Saul. And here in the heading of this chapter, if you have that in your Bible, it tells us that he's writing a song to the Lord of praise, that God has delivered him from the hand of Saul. And here we find that he's reminiscing and looking back at all the things that took place in his life. He's looking at the darkness of it all. But I find that he pursues it, and he keeps on persisting through it. And by the help of the Lord, for just a few moments, I want to give you that thought on persistence through resistance this morning. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Lord, my Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for Calvary. God, thank you for April 29th in 2017, Lord, the day that you changed my life forever. And Lord, saved my soul from hell. And God, I bless your name for that. Lord, I'm thankful that you don't only want to have a relationship, but you desire to have fellowship with your children. God, I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the really burden on my heart for this message this morning. I pray that you'd bless it, Lord, and God, that would give you all the glory, praise, and honor for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. In our text in Psalm chapter number 18, as I mentioned, as David is fleeing for his life, and he is persisting through the resistance. The word persistent in Webster's 1828 means to continue steadily and firmly, to stand or to be fixed, to not be easily moved. And here we find that in David's trials and in David's storms, he is still persisting on. He is still persevering. And I'll give you three quick things on this thought of persistence through resistance. Number one, I see a God who enlightens. Look with me in verse number 9 with me. It said, he bowed and the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. When I caught this verse several months ago, whenever I was just reading what God has really turned into, just a personal devotion to me, He's turned it into a message. And this verse jumped out to me when it said that He made the darkness His secret place. If you serve God for any amount of times, you'll know that yes, it is glorious serving the Lord, and there's no greater thing, but there's going to come times in your life of darkness. There's going to come times in your life when it's not easy to keep going. It seems like everything might be falling apart. We'll find through the Scriptures that there are all kinds of people that God used greatly that had these storms and battles and trials in their life. I found it interesting that this verse said that God made the darkness His secret place. It also uses the word pavilion. Round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Pavilion nowadays, as we know it, people still have them, is almost like an open air tabernacle for lunch tables or whatever you may use it for. Back then, a pavilion was a tent or somewhere to keep safe and to keep secret. And here we find throughout the Scriptures that God uses a pavilion. In Psalm 27 verse 5 it says, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." There is peace in the Lord's pavilion this morning. When there is darkness all around and it seems like everything is falling apart, we can go to the Father and we can go to the secret place of prayer and we can get into the pavilion of God and we will find peace there this morning. Sometimes your darkness is divine darkness. Psalm chapter number 91 and verse 1, a lot of us know it well. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Oftentimes when I get in dark storms and darkness in my life, I look around and I say, "Lord, what is going on?" But if I realize many times the darkness that I'm in, it's in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, God is the God of the day. Men dwell in darkness rather than light. God is the picture of the opposite of darkness. But in our times of darkness, God will go with us through them. And He will be faithful through it all. And so I find many times in our lives, our darkness sometimes is divine darkness. And I think about in the Scriptures, he's going through Psalm 18 and he's giving his story to the Lord. How is all through the first half of this chapter, he's talking about the fire and he's talking about the things that went wrong and he's talking about the darkness in his life. In verse 12 it says, "At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coats of fire." That really gripped my attention when I looked at that. I realized that Not only is God in this dark place with David, not only did he make the darkness his secret place, but when there was a little bit of brightness that would try and come from the world, the Lord sent clouds to cover it up. And I thought, my God, why is it so important that David was all the time in this dark valley? And oftentimes with you and I, it seems like we'll be in a dark valley and we really do not know how long it will last, but we're in that trial in that dark valley of our lives, and all of a sudden we'll see a little brightness from somewhere and we'll think, well, there's some brightness to my day, and then another cloud of storms will come by and cover it up. And there's a reason for that as we begin to look into the second half of the chapter. But in Psalm 94 verse 22 it says, "But the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge." It said that He shall set me upon a rock. In the storms we have a rock to look to. And Psalm chapter number 18 and this then verse number 18 in our text, look with me, it says, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." I'm thankful that in my battles, in my storms, when everything is falling apart, that the Lord is my stay this morning. When everything is unsteady, God is firm and God is sure and God is steady this morning. And I thank God that He is there to be my stay. So number one, we look at a God who enlightens. And number two, we see a God who enlarges. Look in verse number 35 with me. as we go down in our text, or rather, let's catch verse number 27. It says, "For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, for the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God?" So first, in the first half of the chapter, we see all the darkness, and we see that God made the darkness his secret place. And then as we get into the second half of the chapter, David is saying that God has lit my candle. God has brought the light into my life. I find it many times that when I do not understand why there's so much darkness in my life, it's for so that God will get the glory out of it. There's many things in this world that will bring happiness, but understand this morning, happiness and peace are not the same thing this morning. Happiness comes from happenings. Happiness comes from things that are happening in your life, but peace is there when all is falling apart and when everything is going wrong. I have a peace that passeth all understanding in my soul, that even when I am not happy, I have the peace of God in my spirit. I thank God for that this morning. And then I find that when I'm in the darkness and when there's finally light, I appreciate it more because I know who it came from. Verse number 28 again, "For thou wilt light my candle, Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." We see a God who enlightens our darkness. And as we go on in number 2, a God who enlarges. Look in verse number 32 with me. It says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me up on my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made thee great." Boy, I love that statement. "Thy gentleness hath made me great." The gentleness of the Lord has really, truly been vital in all of our lives, that he would be so gracious and wonderful to us. Look in verse number 36, though. Our text verse, "For a God who enlarges." It says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Psalm chapter number 73 in verse number 1, it says, "Truly God is good to Israel." This was a psalm of Asaph. He said, "Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Now, there's different looks at this psalm that Asaph wrote in Psalm 73, but in a way I can relate to Asaph. He's saying, truly God is good to Israel, and truly God is good to those that love him and to those around us. I feel the same way in the sense that God has been good to my family. I have a good heritage. God's been good to me. God has been blessing those around me. But as for me, as he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." If you've been saved this morning, you can go back to a time where your steps were almost gone. Your feet had well nigh slipped. It seemed like God was good to everybody else around you, but you were another case. It seemed like you were at the lows of lows, at the bottom of the bottom, and God brought you out, and God showed mercy, and all because of his grace. I feel like Asaph, as he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. God's been good to me, but God has been good to those around me." God does not have grandchildren this morning. I hate to burst your bubble. Just because Mama and Papa is saved and loves the Lord, that won't do it for you this morning. God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. Either you know him personally or you don't know him this morning. I thank God for the day that he brought me out of my miry clay. But in chapter number 73, he goes on into verse 23 and says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee," talking about the Lord. He said, "Thou hast holden me by my right hand." I'm thankful that even in the times where I'm in the lowest of lows, and when I was at the rock bottom in my sin, God brought me out. And nevertheless, in my storms, the Lord is continually with me this morning. Psalm 94 in verse number 18, I'm spouting some of these psalms off. It says, "When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." If you are here this morning living under the grace of God, you can truly testify to the fact that we are held up by the Lord's mercy this morning. And thirdly, and I'll get out of the way shortly, I see a God who defeats our enemies. Look in verse number 37 with me. It says, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, and neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them and that hate me. Boy, I love the Bible. I love how the Word of God says things. You say, man, that's kind of gruesome, preacher. Look at that again, verse number 40. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. So that's a little gruesome. That's a little much. You understand that the devil is only out to do three things: to steal, kill, and to destroy. The devil has no filter this morning. The devil would love nothing more than for your life to be in a wreck and to be in shambles. To those that live for God and serve the Lord, there is nothing that would please the devil more than for your life to fall apart, for your marriage to fall apart, for everything to come down to pieces. But God shows grace and shows mercy. But understand, the devil is our enemy. And if there's only one person that as Christians we can hate, and that is the devil. And I hate him with everything in me. The devil is an adversary to us. I've watched him time and time again. I've been a pastor's son all my life. And as I see situations in other people's lives, I see the devil tearing down lives and tearing down hedges in people's homes. I see him tearing down a great men of God in churches. And I see churches that are thriving for God that were once on fire for God, and all because the devil got an inch, he took out the whole church. I hate the devil this morning, and you should too. He is our adversary. And so I'm thankful for when the Lord will give us the devil's neck and give us the enemy under our feet. Notice in verse number, I want you to turn with me quickly to 1 Samuel 22, and we'll come back and we'll finish up shortly, very quickly. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 22, which is the context of it. 1 Samuel chapter number 22 is, in fact, where David is running for his life. David is seeking asylum. He's seeking to get away from the king, Saul, who is seeking after his life. As you turn there, in our text in Psalm 18, I want to read you this while you turn to your place. It says, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me, and strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid and out of their close places. And what that is referring to is Psalm chapter, or 1 Samuel rather, chapter number 22. Look in verse number 1 with me. Now, in the context of this, David has just been running from King Saul. He was seeking asylum in a neighboring king, but he played the role of a madman to get away from him because he was in fear that he would be offered up to Saul. And so it seems like in David's life, truly, there is darkness all around. It seems like in David's life, there is no one that he can turn to. And so now David has gone to the cave of Adullam, and he is just seeking some rest. He is discouraged. He has been running for his life for some time. But look in verse number 1. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. Boy, I love how there's natural alliteration all over the scriptures. Gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, when I read this, you understand, David is running for his life. He runs to this cave to hide, and 400 men see him going down there of his father's house, and they go down there not to comfort David, not to give David encouragement, but in fact, they're seeking encouragement from David. Even in David's trial, David is the one who's in distress. He's in discontentment, and he is in a rough place in his life, but they come to him seeking a wisdom. Why is that? I'm going to give you a statement Your endurance will give you influence. Your endurance through storms and rough times and battles, people are watching you, whether it's your children or your grandchildren or somebody in the supermarket, wherever it is, people watch you and your endurance through hard times. And if you stay close to God and you still follow God through it, your endurance will give you influence in people's lives that you never knew you would have. I remember times it being Mother's Day, as I would be in the house as a real small child. We homeschooled all of our life. And I would be schooling and I would, or I'd be schooling and I'd be playing with toys while Mama was away. And she'd get on to me when she got back in. But I'd be, all of a sudden I'd come over hungry. I'd want a snack or something and I would begin to search for Mama. And as I'd go through the open doors and looking for Mama, I could not find her. And finally, I went into their room, and I was about to turn around and walk back out and saw nobody. And then I heard some crying, and I heard some wailing. And as I listened closer, I realized that my mama was in her closet. And she was praying and crying out to God. Let me just say this for you mothers. There is something special about a mother and her affection and her tears. There are very few things that are more powerful than a lady and her tears. Even God, the Bible says that the Lord puts our tears in a bottle. That's how much they mean to God. Talking about the influence that she had in my life, I remember times where Mom and Dad, they'd be going through trials and troubles and tribulations, but I would still hear them praying and giving praise to God. See, why are you saying that? Because now it has influence in my life. Their endurance in those storms has influence in my life. It is the same way with every one of you here this morning. Your endurance through the hard times, your endurance in the troubles will give you influence to those around you, even if it's at a later time in your life. Turn with me again to our text in Psalm 18 and we'll wrap up. I want to catch another verse and see what the Lord has for us. Psalm chapter number 18 in our text, and as we look down into towards the closing of the chapter of David's song to the Lord of delivering him from the hand of Saul. In verse number 47 in Psalm chapter number 18, verse 47, it said, "It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me." Now, if you remember, as we read in the first part of this chapter, it says that he bowed the heaven also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. In the beginning of the chapter, the darkness is under his feet. The darkness is around him. It's all over the place. But in the closing of the chapter, Lord, watch what it says in verse 47. "It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me." David went from the darkness being under him to his enemies being under him. Your endurance gives you influence. If you will endure, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as 2 Timothy verse number chapter 2 verse 3 says. And as we find that what he does is he is faithful to the Lord even in the hard times. And I find it amazing that those 400 men, as they came to David in David's storm, inquiring the wisdom from David, he didn't say, "Get away from me, my life's falling apart," but he gave them wisdom. I won't turn there this morning, but Psalm 34 is exactly what he gave the people. If you'll study that and look, you will find that Psalm 34 is exactly the message that David gave to those people that came seeking a wisdom from David in his own storm. And he talks about the goodness of God. He talks about fearing God faithfully. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, by the way. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you desire wisdom in your heart, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know what I find is a lot of times we want the Lord's wisdom, but we do not respect the Lord. That word fear in that context, it means to respect, to revere, to fear God. And we want the wisdom without the fear. God does not work that way this morning. That contradicts Him and His Word. But as I find through the troubles and trials, I think of what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Here's a good country word for it. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I believe I've quoted that verse here before. But what Paul was saying was that even when the times are hard now, the times that are rough, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's coming a day where we'll depart from here. I'm talking about the thought to you this morning of persistence through resistance. We resist against so many things. Not only do we resist against the devil, but I resist against this flesh. Understand that every one of us this morning, whether we want to admit it or not, our best friend is ourselves. You say, you don't believe me? Who do we take care of? Who do we feed every day? Who do we take watch after? We take every single day attending to ourselves more than anything. But there's coming a day where this flesh will be gone. I have to persist through the resistance of my flesh every day. Our flesh will resist against our persistence in serving the Lord. Our flesh hates the thought of doing things for God. The brother was talking in Sunday school this morning about witnessing and how it's sometimes hard to do and it's against our flesh and how it's sometimes embarrassing. It's our flesh resisting against us. But we must persist through the resistance. When the devil is resisting, keep on persisting this morning. That is what I want to give you this morning. But on that thought of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, Paul was, I believe, to be, besides, of course, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the greatest New Testament preacher to ever be in the New Testament church. He went around serving God, but you understand he was small in stature. He was an old hunchback. The Greeks turned him away because they didn't like his style of preaching. There was all kinds of things, but he served God. He served God faithfully. He feared the Lord faithfully. And as he said that, when he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," he knew something about God that we don't always reap the benefits of God here on earth, but there will come a day when we get to glory, when we'll reap the benefits of serving our Savior. But understand, in the wording of that verse, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Understand that we do not have anything to reveal unless we've already got it. If you're a child of God, you already have the glory of the Lord in your life. And one day it'll be revealed in glory. But we can live every day today, live now, knowing that we have the glory in our lives, the glory of God living in us, if you were saved this morning. And I hope you are. If you are not, the altars are always open to be born again. I thank God for His extending hand. Keep on persisting when the devil is resisting. Sometimes the day seems long and our trials are hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Look at verse number 2. At times the sky seems dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just come to Him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face and all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. as we stand to our feet all over the building this morning. The pianists are coming. The musicians are coming this morning. I want to extend an invitation to you this morning of persistence through the resistance. You might be in a time in your life where there's so much resistance and there's so much heartache in your life. I encourage you this morning to be persistent, even when the devil is resisting you this morning. These altars are open. You don't have to wait for me.